Hey everyone, welcome to episode 323 of the TDR Now podcast. We're the first English speaking podcast about Asian theme parks like Tokyo Disneyland and spooky places like Halloween Horror Nights at various Universal Studios like USJ and Universal Studios Singapore. You can find all kinds of information by typing out TDR Explorer on all the platforms, and you will find so much great stuff. I'm one of your hosts, Trish. I help out with tourism in the city. I'm part of a group who's working on an Instagram project called Discover Urayasu, so please check us out there. And you can find me on Dream Suites Love on Instagram and Threads. Oh my God, I'm living for spooky season. With me is Chris, who is also a very spooky, spooky guy. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Man, I feel like Halloween's been going on forever.
For me, it's every day.
Fair enough. Yeah, I just, you know, with Halloween Horror Nights starting earlier every year, it just seems like it's really kind of drawn out with the events. And
yeah,
I don't want to say I'm over it at this point. It's more just like, okay, there's a lot more space before Christmas starts. So I'm kind of like, what do I do now? Kind of thing.
You bask in the glory of Halloween, Chris. Right.
But yeah, I'm Chris. I'm the one that has seemingly started to make this a tradition where I go to all of or most of the Halloween Horror Nights events in the world. This is my second year doing this. I didn't do Hollywood this year. I had to skip it just for timing reasons. It just didn't work out. But I did all the other ones, and we added Universal Studios Beijing to that list, which is also nice. Did we talked about that, didn't we, or did we not? I don't remember now.
I feel like we didn't.
No, we didn't. Well, we can maybe tack it on to the end here of this.
Look, Halloween is still going on, okay? No, we can. Okay. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah. Because both of these events are not as big as the U.S. ones or University of Japan. So I feel like, you know, we could probably put them both in one episode. But it's Halloween Horror Nights. I just love seeing how different they work at all the different resorts around the world. It's really interesting to see how they interpret horror and how they cater it to the local audience. And I can understand how that would be a challenge. And University of Singapore is doing their 12th Halloween Horror Nights this year.
Wow.
So they've done a lot.
That's incredible. Yeah.
12 is a lot, actually. How many have University of Japan done? I never looked that up. Because University of Japan doesn't number them.
No, but they've been doing it for a while, because I remember before we really went, you know, we before we did Halloween, I was always afraid to take the adult, you know, when he was a child, the child to Universal Studios for Halloween, despite how much I love Halloween and I really wanted to do it, because we're like, oh man, it's really scary and he's going to be terrified. We cannot bring him. But I didn't know. And maybe at that time it was different. Like, I don't know if it was like if they had these same events during the daytime for like kids and like more family friendly things, but like we didn't know about that. And so if not, we would have definitely brought him and then maybe, you know, like not taking him into the scary part at night, you know, but, but it's definitely been going on for a long time. Like he's 18 now. And we had thought about it like when he was like in like elementary school, you know, so
yeah, it was sure. Something they've done it for probably, I would say like 15 years.
It has to be
at least that. Like it definitely wasn't right after when the park opened, because the park opened in 2001. It wasn't around then.
No.
It was later than that. We kind of talked about this already, but University of Japan is kind of like they've found their footing with how they want to run things. And well, this year they kind of changed it up a little bit, but you know, kind of goes back to what I was talking about, how these, all the different Universal parks are figuring out or have figured out how it works for them. And it's just like really interesting to see. So I guess going right into Universal Studios Singapore, they kind of have a hybrid model. It's similar to the US in terms of how the ticketing works, but also it kind of works sort of like Universal Studios Japan, because they also have a daytime portion that's Halloween that is included with your ticket. So like more family friendly stuff, right? Like, you know, Minions and Sesame Street characters in Halloween outfits, and then, you know, Halloween food and things of that nature. But then on select nights, they have the ticketed event, the Halloween Horror Nights in Singapore, which works just like the US parks in terms of that. So it's kind of an interesting mix that they do in terms of how it works. So Halloween Horror Nights in Singapore is on from select nights from September 27th to November 2nd. So I think the US parks also run into November. I think they all do, right at the beginning of November. So tickets are pretty easy to buy. You can buy them through Klook, or you can buy them right through Universal Studios Japan, or Japan, Universal Studios Singapore's website. And I went a few weeks ago. I went for their media event. So everything for me was provided. So just full disclosure for all of that. And I had a great time. And one of the houses I ranked it second for the most terrifying house out of the ones I did this year. It scared, it got me good. It got me real good. So really quickly, so Horror Nights there, they have four haunted houses, three scare zones, and three live shows. So they brought a show back. So before they only had, they had a couple smaller shows the last few years, but they finally brought back like the gigantic stage show, which is nice. They do have one less house this year compared to last year, but the fact that they added a stage show, I think that's fine with me.
I think so too. Yeah.
A stage show is always good. I always love a good stage show.
It's always fun. It gives balance, you know?
Yeah. And then they have, three scare zones. I think their scare zones are probably the weakest out of everything. They kind of make up for it in other places. And there's also merchandise, and then also food as well, available during the event. So I don't know. Should we talk about the shows first?
Let's do it. Yes.
So the first show, the show that they brought back that's on the stage show is called Dark Dreams. It's in one of the theaters. It's kind of a high camp kind of show. So there's this, like the MC or whatever, comes on. He's kind of like almost like a Beetlejuice kind of character, like very charismatic, making jokes and things of that nature. He's called the Dream Reaper, and he feeds off the nightmares of innocent people to steal their souls. So throughout the performance, he basically tortures three people in their dreams. So this is kind of like a Nightmare on Elm Street kind of thing going on.
Kind of interesting vibe.
And he does end up killing them all to take their souls. But it's a very high camp kind of show. There's a lot of production value with it. They use a lot of music. Like Sweet Dreams, you know, that's kind of I don't want to say it's a cliche. I think it was used very appropriately. Mm-hmm. It was a fun show. There's a lot of interaction from the audience, They do this part where they will, take this big sheet and like glide it over everyone sitting closest to the stage. To kind of represent, I think it was a bed sheet, to represent a bed sheet or something. Mm-hmm. And they even had like people performing stunts. Like they had someone who looks like they were falling very slowly in their dream, but they were falling from the ceiling.
Oh, cool.
It was really neat. It was definitely a really fun show. I really liked that. And then the other show they had was called it's kind of a weird word, Ocular's Rave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spelled OCU dot LAR apostrophe S rave.
This spelling would drive me crazy. I can imagine like them doing the copy for this and making sure it's all,
because you know, autocorrect will try and correct it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So this is a show that's in one of the scare zones, and the scare zone, what is it called? The scare zone is called Netherland, and it's like a rave, but for like creatures and dead people.
Nice.
So yeah, they have this big like outdoor stage. It's under the canopy in the New York area, and there's these two DJs that come out, and you know, they play a lot of like electronic music and stuff, and there's dancers and stuff. So it's kind of a performance that happens a couple times a night. It's not as elaborate as the stage show, mm-hmm. which yeah, makes sense.
But it's fun. It's like, yeah, atmosphere, you know.
It adds a lot. It's very loud. Like this year's theme was kind of a party vibe. Is kind of what they were going for.
I love it.
And then new this year, they tried something different, which I applaud them for, and I think it worked really well. I can't wait to see how they improve on it. Is a projection show called Night Terrors, and it's described as, watch as the Dream Reaper emerges from an abandoned fortress and commands evil specters in this projection mapping spectacle. They used Shrek's Castle.
Oh my God.
So in the University of Singapore, for those that don't know, there's the Far, Far Away Land, which is Shrek. It's a Shrek land,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better term. And the 4D show is housed inside Shrek's castle, or Fiona's castle, I guess. And it's actually quite a gorgeous building. And they use this to do the projection show. And for their first go, I think it's actually pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how long it was, like 10, 15 minutes. It wasn't very long. It's just a lot of like spooky projections and stuff. And what I like about it is it kind of gets people to that side of the park, because everything was kind of like, stuff is kind of spread out for the Horror Nights. And there was, during Horror Nights, there was no reason to go to Far, Far Away because everything was closed. But during Horror Nights, now they have this projection show. There's a reason to go back there. I'm not sure if anything else is open over there. I kind of forgot to check, to be honest. I was just too excited to see this stage show or the production show. So yeah, those are like the three shows that you get to see.
Okay, and then, so it's a lot of entertainment,
which is great. And mm-hmm. for the scare zones, like I mentioned, there's the Netherland, which is kind of it's a big rave is effectively what it is. And there's different creatures and stuff. Like there's a couple like gigantic puppets on wheels that scare actors will like maneuver and stuff, which I think is pretty mm-hmm. cool. Another scare zone. It's more like an outdoor house, I would say. Cause you don't like, cause like, in the US and even in Japan, the scare zones, you kind of have to walk through them to get somewhere. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, it's called the Los Kampung, and I think it's Indonesia. I might be wrong about that, but it's, you know, it's based off of something from in Southeast Asia, and it's in the Jurassic Park area. But it's, you just kind of walk through it, and then you kind of come out where you walked in. So it's kind of like an outdoor house, is what it is, and it's just, you know, a lot of scare actors and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very dark. It was hard to see anything. There was a lot of good scares. It's kind of hard to describe, I suppose. It's just a lot of like, it wasn't voodoo, but it kind of felt like that a little bit. I don't think that's what it was exactly, but it was kind of that aesthetic, I guess.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I would explain it. Then, oh my goodness, this is probably my favorite scare zone ever.
Like, and I feel like everything that you've told me about the vampire stuff has sounded so good.
Oh my goodness.
Like, it sounds like the highlight of this event. You know what I mean?
This was the standout hit. Like, I had no idea this is what they were doing. So the third scare zone is called Vampire Alley. But so it's a scare zone and you're walking through an alleyway and there, you know, there's vampires and stuff. And it's very, if you watch any kind of, I'm trying to think, were there any vampire films set in New York? Blade? Was Blade in New York?
There's been a few. What is it, like Vampires in the Bronx or something? It's really cute.
Yeah, there's that one.
Right?
Buffy and the Vampire Slayer definitely wasn't.
There has to be more.
I feel like there has to be.
There's so many vampire movies and content.
It was very like city vampire feeling, right? Because it's the alleyways in the New York area, so that's kind of what the canvas they had to play with.
Yeah.
So there's vamp, like you walk through it. It's all outdoors, but then you find a vampire speakeasy, and this is new this year. This is the first time they've done this.
I'm obsessed with this idea.
There's a vampire bouncer, and she is probably the sassiest person I've ever met in my life. You go up to her, and she asks you why you want to come in, and you have to give her an answer. And I just said, my blood tastes sweet. And so she kind of looks at me up and down, and then comes up beside my head and gives me like the biggest, longest sniff I've ever heard in my life. And she's like, "You smell good. Come in." I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. So then you go in, and it's in one of the restaurants, but it's on the second floor. So I think it's like I think this area must be used for like private events or something.
Okay.
But yeah, it's on the second floor. So you go up these set of staircases, and then it's a speakeasy. So they have food and drink, like alcohol and all this kind of stuff. So like you can actually eat and drink, but there are vampires everywhere, and they're all different vampires, and they're all just kind of mingling with you or talking amongst themselves, or there's parts where they're chanting about Lilith.
Oh my God, I love it.
There's parts where they're talking about like the Book of the Sun and like just like all like just very heavy vampire lore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I kid you not, they were playing the Blade rave song.
Wow.
Which, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, yes, this is perfect. Like, this is so campy. I love it. It was so over the top.
Oh my gosh.
And it was very sexual, let's put it that way. Like, it was borderline, like, they're doing this in a theme park? Like, it was...
it's vampires. It's got to have a little seductiveness, you know?
Yeah, vampires are very seductive, very sexy, inappropriate, you know? not to say that anything like overtly inappropriate happens. It's just, it's very suggestive. That's probably the best way to put it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the vampires, like the female presenting vampires, very low cut outfits, you know, very revealing outfits and stuff. And then there's a couple of vampires who are just like overly macho kind of vampires. Like they're like, just like big hair, ponytail, you know, feathers on their outfit and just muscular. And it was just like, just a whole lot going on. And even at one point they all started fighting with each other.
Oh my God.
It was just a lot of fun. And the vampires would come around and they would interact with you, and like they would smell you and tell you if you smelled good and whatnot. I think at one point one of them came up to me. I can't remember what I said exactly, but then they said, they're like, "Oh, you smell real good." And just like looked me up and down. It was like staring at my neck. I was like, "Oh, that's so good. That is really good." It was like the whole thing was just so well done.
Yeah.
Like, I want more of that. Like, oh my gosh. I love the houses. I love the scare zones. I love the shows. But like to me, that's like peak atmosphere right there. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Like, I love being scared and all that, but just like being able to live in this world, even for half an hour.
Yeah, and play around and just like have fun and just soak up the atmosphere and like interact. It sounds like a blast, you know?
100%. I think out of all the Halloween Horror Nights stuff I got to do this year, I think that's my number one. Absolute number one. It also helps too, like, I'm a big vampire person.
Oh my gosh, for real. Yeah.
I've watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series, multiple times. Front to back. I've read all the comics. You know, I watched the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer film from the early 90s. You know, I've seen Blade. I've seen almost every vampire movie you can think of. Like, I've seen so many. I just love the lore of it all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
True Blood. I love True Blood. That was on HBO. Like, just all that stuff. That is my jam. So I think just going for that is worth it alone. Like, I would pay just to go to that.
For real?
100%. It was just so well done. And I made sure to tell them. Like, I told the PR people, I said, this is so good. I would stay here all night if I could. Like, if there wasn't anything else to do, I would stay here the entire time.
Wow, I love it.
And I'm like, not just saying
kind
that.
Of like, you know what? It kind of like, it makes me wonder, like, I feel like, because I know they're building like a vampire, like land, not land, but like area, like with like, and they're going to have the restaurant with like the familiars. And I wonder if it's going to have like obviously from a different side, because it's like the familiars, not the vampires, but like something kind of like a really similar, like playful dynamic, you know?
Yeah. Where's this?
I think it's at the new, Orlando.
You're talking about the Universal Monsters.
Yes.
Oh my God. I haven't read too much about that, but I need to.
But like some of what you're saying, like it's from a different angle, but like it reminds me of like the description and it sounds like a total blast.
Oh yeah. I really enjoyed it. I would do it again in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But that's not all. There's still more stuff to do. They have four houses this year. So this is their third time doing a Netflix house, or like a house based off a Netflix TV show. Mm-hmm. So the first one they did 3 years ago or 4 years ago was Stranger Things, which, you know, pretty standard, I think. Both the parks in the U.S. did it as well, you know, because Stranger Things was such a big show at the time. So it made sense. And then last year they did, what was it called? It was why am I forgetting the name of it? Hold on.
Wait, the Korean one, right? The zombies, and they're at the school.
Why am I forgetting the name?
And I cannot remember the name either, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay.
Because it's going to bug me.
It was really fun. Yeah.
It's going to bug me. And I watch, All of Us Are Dead. There we go.
Yes,
All of Us Are Dead.
Yes, yes.
So they did that Korean zombie show last year. And this year, they did another Korean Netflix show called Sweet Home. Unfortunately, I never got to watch Sweet Home. I wanted to try watching it, but it's three seasons and I just didn't have time to watch another Netflix show.
Oh my gosh, for real. But I've heard only good things about it. I haven't gotten the chance to see it either, but whenever I hear somebody talking about it, it's always like really positive.
Yeah. So the premise is it's like a post-apocalyptic kind of show. You know, it's Korean, and people turn into like their worst desires when they die or something like that. And it's based off of seasons 1 and 2 is what it was.
Okay.
You can tell that house had budget. There was budget put into that house. You can tell, with a Netflix house, it makes sense. Netflix would give the money to be able to do that. And I thought it was very well done.
It must be popular as well, right? Like for them to put so much effort into it.
Yeah. I've read that it's quite popular. It's always just, again, this kind of goes back to how it's just so fascinating how some things are so popular in different parts of the world. Like, you know, there's things from like North America that are so popular that we know about, but then we hear about these things that are popular on the other side of the world that I've never heard of before, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I heard of recently, but it's like, no, people have been watching it for a couple of years now and it's super popular. You know, it's always just very interesting how all of that works. The house is very similar to last year's in terms of just like the flow and the feel of it. I'm talking about the All of Us Are Dead house. It's quite long. It's quite bright in a lot of places, and the actors get in your face. Like they get real close to you, and like run past you and stuff they would never do in the US because I think it would be a safety hazard. Cause you know, people don't keep their hands to themselves. So, some of the scares they did in that house, I don't see would ever fly in like the US parks. I don't think they would ever do them in Japan either, because I don't think people would like that too much. But for me, like, give it to me. I want that. Like, I want to be scared senseless. That's what I want.
Yeah.
They did this really neat effect that actually I had to stop and I looked. I was like, oh, that was very convincing. There was a part where there's this, like, a character was kind of standing high on something, like high in terms of height. They're up quite high. And then they're saying something, but a lot of the characters, if they were speaking, in Korean, which I think is really cool. So I don't speak any Korean, so I obviously don't understand what's being said, but she's screaming something and then she jumps off the ledge. And it looks like she hung herself, just the way everything was set up. Uh-huh. And she was like swinging back and forth, looking like she hung herself.
Wow.
Obviously she didn't. Like, obviously it's
no, of course. No, they're not gonna.
Not real, but it just like, it just caught me off guard. It must
be very like impactful, you know.
It just caught me off guard because I was not expecting it. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, she's hanging. Oh my goodness. My gosh. Like, wow. That was quite shocking to see, honestly. And then, you know, of course, you kind of go through all the infamous scenes from the show. And then there's the climax with one of the main villains who has like this big black wing for an arm. Mm-hmm. That character's in there as well. It was a very well done house. I thought it was very well done. Another one they did was called Cursed Scrolls, Dynasty of Darkness. And what they did with this one was they gave you 3D glasses. So similar to what Chucky is in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did the same thing with Cursed Scrolls. So a lot of like neon paint was through this. And the story behind this house is, I'm just going to read this verbatim. From Jiangxi running rampant to Huli stalking new victims. I don't know what that means. Come face to face with the evil entities that have been unleashed by the Scroll Master in this immersive three-dimensional experience.
Oh.
So the Scroll Master, I guess, releases a bunch of demons and stuff. It was quite the elaborate house, and they did this really neat effect that caught me off guard. Because it was also quite dark. They had like a swamp room.
Oh, cool.
When you walked in, it was so dark and it made it look like you're walking on plank. Or no, you're kind of like walking. It made it look like you were walking in water.
Oh, nice.
Like, my brain for a second took a couple seconds to realize like what was going on. Because what they did was that while there was water sounds happening and like splashing sounds.
Yeah.
But they had lasers kind of at like waist height shooting across the fog to make it look like it was water.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like you were like walking in like in waist-high water.
Cool.
Which I thought was a really cool effect. I've never seen that before in one of the houses at Universal.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was actually quite neat. It just, yeah, it took me a hot second to figure out what was going on. And then scare actors would pop up from underneath the lasers, like these water swamp things.
Mm-hmm.
It was scared me. It got me because you could, like, there's no lights waist down, so you can't really see anything.
Yeah.
It was quite scary with that. And then they did this one, they did a room that was all like lined with white fur. It was all white fur,
mm-hmm.
but then the white, like I'm talking top to bottom, ceiling, floor, all white fur. So it was very bright. Again, mm-hmm. very jarring for the eyes because you're going from darkness to like a white, like a bright white room. And of course there's blood covered everywhere. And then there was like this deranged kind of rabbit demon thing.
Oh no.
That was there. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I really liked that.
Was it kind of cute?
Not in the slightest.
Oh no.
No, not even close.
Oh no.
And then they did at the end you kind of meet the Scroll Master and the final room you kind of walk through, it's like everything is kind of burning. I think it's trying to represent you're in an urn or something and uh-huh. being burnt. But the floor was all uneven, but it was all spongy and bouncy. So ooh. Like when you stepped on it, you kind of sunk in a little bit and you had to kind of like, you know how you have to walk funny when you're on that kind of like terrain?
Yeah.
That's kind of how you had to walk for the rest of the that room. It was it was very strange, but it was quite neat. So they tried a lot of different things with the house, and I think it worked very, very well.
Cool.
The other house was under the castle, and this was a house designed by a company called Team Wang Design. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I've never heard of them before.
Mm.
Apparently they're quite popular, but I've never heard of them. The description is, from the minds of Jackson Wang and Team Wang Design, this cursed castle welcomes you, but be warned, the last time its doors opened, dozens of villagers went in, but none came out. Do you dare to uncover the truth? So it's kind of a medieval house, medieval house. So everything is, you know, like brick, stone, and there's, you know, scare actors in armor, and there's torture chambers and things of that nature. And it was very green, because I guess like that was the color aesthetic they were going for. It was very green.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fine. I didn't find it very scary, to be honest. It was just very like pretty to look at.
Okay.
I guess because this design firm designed it, I suppose. It wasn't my favorite. I'm like, okay, that was pretty cool. It looked like there was some pretty cool effects and stuff, but it really wasn't all that scary. And then the last house, which was the scariest for me, was Singapore's most haunted, The Killings.
Oh.
And it's described as walking past the eerie stone lions and enter one of Singapore's most haunted houses to relive its horrors. Will it be the restless spirits of the countless victims that get you first, or the sinister ghosts that killed them?
Uh-oh.
So it's loosely based off of, I guess, either folklore or like urban legends of quote unquote actual murders that happened at some point in history.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all like, you know, this is their like Singapore always has like a local house, a house that's based off of like local folklore or stories or something. So this was their house this year.
Okay.
And let me tell you, oh man, that house got me. It got me together. It was a lot. A lot of screaming from the actors and just a lot of, I don't even know how to put it. It's just the scares they did were just so good.
Yeah.
It's just, It's hard to describe.
And I feel like local folklore and urban legends is always really interesting and really fun and really creepy.
Because it's one of those things where it's like, you feel like this could actually happen.
Yeah, it's like tied to the people living there, you know?
Yeah. Like, you know, stuff like Netflix Sweet Home, that's high fantasy. Like, we know it's this made-up story, you know? Mm-hmm. And same with, like, the Cursed Scrolls. It's just, like, a very, like, colorful, over-the-top kind of experience. And then Under the Castle was just very aesthetic, right? Whereas this felt, like, gritty and grungy and real. It felt like it could be real, like something that could actually happen. And I think that's what gets you the most. Like, there was just so many scares. It was just like the scares just kept happening. Like, there was almost no break. It was just like scare after scare after scare after scare. I was just like, oh my goodness, like, I need room to breathe. Like, it was almost suffocating in a way, but
yeah,
in a good way, I guess. Yeah. They had like just a lot of tricks. Like, they had a closet that you walked through, and I don't like, because it's like a tight space, and I don't like that. Like, little tight spaces, like, oh, do not like that. Or like, there's a lot of like fake scares. So like, you think it's coming from one spot, but it's actually another one.
Yeah.
And like the classic, like, scare actor looks like the wall, but no, that's not, it's scary. There's someone there, but, you know? Pardon me.
Yeah.
Things like that. It was just such a well done house. And I ranked it as number two is the most terrifying house this year. Oh, number one was Insidious, the one in Orlando. That one was probably the most terrifying.
Oh, cool.
This one is a very close second.
Wow.
Very well done. I really enjoyed it. So good. As for like the food and stuff, there was a lot of food. I didn't get to try a lot of it. There just wasn't time. They had like, one thing I did get to try was like a pizza. It was like a type of pizza. Like, it wasn't a traditional pizza. It was like a pizza on like this like thicker type of bread, and it had like a tangy kind of sauce on it, like tomato sauce, and it was spicy. So it was actually quite good. I quite enjoyed that. Then they have a whole bunch of other like food. They have a bunch of the restaurants are open. They have like Halloween specific, like Halloween Horror Night specific food. A lot of it is very gruesome. Like, some of it, there was one dish, I don't remember what it was. I think it might've been pasta. It wasn't pasta. It was a chicken leg, I think, or something like that. And it looked like it had maggots on it. Like, I looked at that, and because like the food we got to see was like the actual food. It wasn't plastic or anything. I was like, they prepared it. And I looked at it, I'm like, that looks like maggots.
Oh no.
Like, that's almost too real, you know? Yeah. And for like merchandise and stuff, they didn't actually have a lot this year. They had more last year. So I'm not too sure what happened, why there was less this year.
I wonder.
Unless they release more after the fact. That's also a possibility. But when I was there, they just had a couple of, like, they had a mug that looked like a cauldron, that blood looked like it appeared when you put hot liquid in it, you know, those kind of classic mugs.
Yeah.
Then they had a Halloween Horror Nights drink or a cup, like a plastic cup with a straw that had, like, it said Halloween Horror Nights University of Singapore on it. And it had like red blood on it, and then came with like a little holster that so you could fill it up and then put it in a holster to take it into the house with you.
Yeah.
And then they had a couple, like they had like a pass case as well. And that's pretty much it.
All right.
Yeah, they didn't really have much else. But overall, though, I really like Singapore's Halloween Horror Nights. Like, I feel it's like that. I know this is a really overused word, but it's like, it's a hidden gem. It's one that people often overlook.
It sounds super fun.
Yeah. It's one of those, if you're a Horror Nights fan, you need to make the effort to go to Horror Nights at Universal Studios Singapore. Like, I think it's really well done. This is my second year doing it, and I've enjoyed both years. And it's just one of the things you just need to do, I think. And you know, the city of Singapore is a good place to visit too, so you can easily make part like going to Singapore, you can easily spend there, you know, more time in Singapore doing other stuff there as well.
Do they have like other like spooky events happening in the area at the same time?
Not on Sentosa Island, but in Singapore themselves, I think there's a couple like spook events is happening as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
It seems like they get really into Halloween, which is really interesting. I did not know that there was such a love of horror, because like their Halloween Horror Night sounds really scary.
Yeah, it's borderline, I would say probably one of the scariest.
Wow.
Like, it feels like it's true horror. Not that the US ones aren't. Like, I'm not saying that. It's just, I don't know, there's just something about the way the horror is done here that just kind of gets you.
Mm-hmm.
Where I guess like the US parks, I'm not even sure how to put this into words. Well, I guess
because the US parks is more like horror cinema, right?
Yeah, that's true. And with like, and they do their own houses, like original houses and yeah. stuff. But I feel like for like Western culture, like at least for me personally, I don't find our ghost stories as scary or disturbing as like stuff from other parts of the world.
Well, because you're familiar with it. It depends on like what you're reading or what you're like, what media you're enjoying, right? And I think, you know, when you probably go or you're experiencing horror from other countries, you're experiencing the cream of the crop because that's what's available translated or subtitled, right? So it's kind of like, it's hard to say. I think all the horror is good. But I think that's probably like kind of the situation that when you're enjoying overseas horror, it's like the best of the best, right?
Yeah, like don't get me wrong, I love slasher stuff. Like that's probably like my top tier. Like I love slasher stuff. So give me anything with Scream or Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, or like, you know, some of the Blumhouse films. Like I love that stuff. Like that's like peak for me. But yeah, I think you're right. It's like I'm so used to it, so it doesn't scare me. I just really enjoy it.
You're really familiar with it, right?
Yeah. Whereas like this other stuff, like specifically the Singapore's Most Haunted, like I'm not familiar with it. So like it scares me. Like it terrifies me because I don't know. I don't know what it is, right?
It's like novel, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Yeah. Why don't we start talking about Beijing.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Wait, I forgot. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to Beijing?
So Beijing, they don't have, it's not called Halloween Horror Nights. It's actually called Scares at Universal.
Oh.
So that's the name that it's going by.
So this is really interesting. And I don't know if you get like a similar vibe. I was recently reading a short story collection called Sinophasia. And it was like a collection of various horror authors from like modern horror authors from mainland China. And the person who was gathering the authors was talking about how there's kind of like this vibrant horror community. However, nobody wanted to be a part of the collection because it was because the collection has like horror in it. And so there's kind of like this aversion to being part of the horror community because a lot of the horror that's happening now, like that's classified as horror in quotation marks, is very like slasher-esque and grotesque, and people don't want to be associated with it. But there's also a lot of really interesting horror that like they don't want to be classified as horror, which is kind of interesting. And I wonder if that's why they didn't incorporate the horror title in Horror Nights.
Yeah, that would make sense because, you know, yeah, things are, you know, China does things very differently. We don't need to get into that, but, you know, just the way, you know, how China does things. So that would make sense why the name wasn't used. Yeah, I guess horror has different connotation, I suppose.
Yeah, especially right now. And yeah, a lot of the horror authors were identifying more as like sci-fi or thriller or kind of like genres skirting the horror genre, even though they're really great horror stories. They didn't want to be identified with that genre.
Oh, interesting. I didn't read that, no.
It's so interesting. It's a really good book, Synophasia. It just came out, I think.
Okay, I'll have to look that up and read it. So yeah, it's called Scares at Universal, and it works similarly to Japan, where it is part of your day ticket. It's not a separate ticketed event. So it happens every day during this period. This is only their second time doing it. They've only done it twice. So the first was last year, and this is the second year. This year is, they have three houses instead of one, which is interesting. And they also have two little scare zones with this. So the fact that it's included with your day ticket, like I'm a little more lenient because you're not paying anything extra. It's already part of your day ticket. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, this is extra stuff you get to do. Same thing with Japan. It's like, oh, this is all included. Like, I'm not paying extra for this, which is cool. They've decided to incorporate Jack the Clown and Chance, who are originally from Horror Nights in Orlando. That's where they originated from. So they're using them as like the icons for Scares at Universal. So that's actually quite cool. So they do they have this gigantic stage near the front of the park. Like, I'm talking, it's huge. And every night before, once the two scare zones activate, Chance and Jack the Clown come out and do this show, like this little stage show. And like all the different clowns and stuff start coming out. And it's all in Mandarin, so I don't have a clue what they're saying. But they're all, you know, performing and whatnot. And then once the show is done, all the clowns go out to their respected platforms that are in the front of the park. That's kind of like, it's kind of set up like the World Bazaar, where the main, quote unquote, main street is covered at the front of the park. So all the performers almost all the performers are on these little stages, and they're doing like contortion type of stuff, and they're posing for photos and whatnot. And then there's other clown scare actors are just kind of wandering around the area, and like they're not really scaring you per se. They're just kind of walking around acting kind of strange.
Okay.
So it's not violent in any way.
It's more just like eerie.
Yeah, it's like these clowns that are kind of like, not, you know, you can tell they're not quite all there, you know. And then there's another scare zone that's just off, and it's more like just kind of random, almost like movie character. No, not movie characters. More like, oh, just like spooky characters. Like, there's not really a theme to them. They're just kind of at random, it seems like. Like, there's a woman in a dress, and there's like a little person, like legitimately a little person running around in like a little top hat. And then there's people on stilts. Like, it's just almost like a,
it's almost like a circus, or
kind, it was kind of like a circus, but not really. It was a little like, the theming I didn't quite understand, but that's what it was. So those are the only two scare zones they have.
Okay.
Which is just at the front of the park. But what they did was, they're trying to, so I guess kind of like how Japan, I guess now over the last few years, Hamikuma has become like the thing for horror nights in Japan, right? Mm-hmm. It's Hamikuma. Hamikuma is like the face of it now. It
yeah. Like.
They're trying to do that in Beijing. There's this rabbit called Emotu. And the name emo 2 is like a play on words. So emo, I guess it kind of means like sadness, something like sad, deranged, something like that. And then 2 is the word for rabbit in Mandarin. So the name emo 2, and it's this little rabbit that originated in their first haunted house from last year. This rabbit that is like, his right ear was ripped off, and it's kind of like, it's like a little nub, but it's bloody. And then he has like his other full ear, and like part of his face is a little ripped off, and his eyes are bulging, but he's kind of cute,
okay.
which is strange. But emo 2 comes out, and you can get your photo with him or them. I'm not too sure if it's what their pronouns are, but them. You get a photo with them, but then the scare zones every so often do this thing similar to Japan, where all the scare actors just start dancing. Like a song comes on, they all just start dancing.
Yeah.
So this is where the similarities with Japan kind of comes in. And emo 2 does the same thing. The emo 2 is kind of like the center of attention in that particular scare zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chase and Jack the Clown are over in their scare zone. So it's kind of like this scare zone / dance party kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
And then they have their three houses, which are spread across the park. So the first one is kind of near the front. It's called Freaky Farm. And it's an outdoor thing. So it's all entirely outdoors. You're just kind of going through this farm where just like freaky things happen. It's not overly it's not overly grotesque.
Yeah.
It's there's someone in a burlap sack that's hanging from chains above you, and there's like people that look like farmers but they're dead and things like that. Like it wasn't overly scary. It was fun.
It's like a haunted farm
pretty much. Yeah, it's what it was.
That's kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, so it was exactly the same as last year's, I was told. It was fine. Like it wasn't one I felt like I needed to do it again. But I did see emo 2 in there as well. Emo 2 did show up.
Well, it is a rabbit, and rabbits live on farms, so I can see that.
It makes sense. And then over in the Minions area, there's like, there's a building behind the Minions area, so you kind of have to walk, but the entrance is in the Minions area. And the entrances for these places, these houses, are elaborate. Like they built these facades, archways to go into the queue, and then there's a facade for the actual house itself as well. So they spent a lot of money on this. Like there was budget put into this. So you go, it's called Jack's Circus. So it's like a circus, right, with clowns. Very kind of what you would expect from like a quote unquote, like I guess what you call a freak show.
Okay.
Kind of like kind of that era of stuff. It's quite long. It's not overly scary. It's not grotesque in any way. It's just, there's people doing trapeze in it, but they're wearing like, freaky clown makeup. A lot of optical illusions. They had like the bearded lady, which I thought was hilarious. Like you walk into this, like it looked like a dressing room. You walk in and then, those like those dividers that people would use. Like in a room, so you can like go behind it and change.
Yeah.
It's like you walk into the room and there's like the silhouette of like a tall, thin woman who is like undressing. Right. And then as you walk by it, you can look behind it and you look, and there's this gigantic bearded guy dressed as a drag queen, basically. behind it, which I thought was hilarious. It was actually quite funny. Yeah, just like a lot of circus stuff. There's like, the conjoined twins that both have knives that are chasing you at one point. And Jack in the Boxes, like there's a room full of like, the wind up Jack in the Boxes, but they're gigantic. Some of them have scare actors in them that pop out and scare the living hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack the Clown is in there and everything. again, there was budget put into this thing.
Okay.
So it was fun. It wasn't scary. It was fun. I would say that. The other one, which I'll put this house as my third most scary house. Out of all of them this year.
Okay.
They did things in this house that I sat like as when we were done, I thought there's absolutely no way they would do this anywhere else. Like that. No, they would not do that. There was three things that stood out to me the most. One was you're in this. I should explain what the house is. It's called House 81. And it's a movie. It's a movie set, but it's haunted. And I guess it's based off of different like ghost stories from China. So it kind of has like that local lore, folklore, I guess, vibe to it. So there's like, you know, it's all kind of like pieced together because it's like, oh, you're on different movie sets and stuff. There was one scene where it was kind of like, it was very akin to, did you ever see American Horror Story, the first season?
I think I saw part of it.
Do you remember like the imagery of like the person in the leather, the black leather suit, like skin tight suit?
I do not. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, like you've seen people with like the skin tight, like leather suits that's indicative of like almost like torture horror.
Yeah.
So like there were scare actors dressed up like that.
Okay.
And there was one scene where in a bathroom and you're walking towards, there's this big mirror right in front of you because you have to take a hard left. There's a big mirror in front of you and there's a bathtub full of water. You're walking up towards it. Flash of light happens and you see this person in one of those like one piece leather outfits. They're right up against the mirror on the other side. You know, they hit the window and they look at you and you're like, oh, Jesus. Then the lights turn off. They come out from the freaking bathtub that is full of water and splash water everywhere at you. I was not expecting that. That scared me.
Oh, no. That would be so surprising.
I was not expecting that. I was like, what the heck?
You would never expect that.
No. And then right afterwards, there was a toilet. Like a raised up toilet, and the toilet lid flew open, and someone else like jumped out of it, lunged at me.
Not the toilet.
I'm like, oh my God, can we please stop this? And then in another room, it was kind of like a creepy doll room with like there's like a baby crib and it was almost like a Victorian era kind of room. And you know, like those beds with the bedposts that have like the curtains over the bed.
Yes.
There was like someone like kind of levitating on the bed. But then I can see something on the ceiling and I look up and somebody crawls across the freaking ceiling.
How'd they do that?
I stopped and I looked. I'm like, oh my God, that person is rigged up to like something that slides them across the ceiling.
Wow. So it made
it look like they were crawling across the ceiling.
Oh that my God.
Scared me. Cause I was like, what is going on with this house?
That's amazing.
Then there was another room. Oh, so they did this interesting thing in this house in particular. I think it's a crowd control thing, which I think is very smart. Some of the rooms would split. There'd be two paths for you to go.
Okay.
And they both, like, it was in the same room. So they kind of had the same, similar experiences, but different things happened.
Okay.
And in this one room, it split. And I didn't know where to go. And I was like, well, I'm just going to, okay, there's no one going this way. I'm going to go this way. And you're kind of like, it looked like an insane asylum.
Okay, cool.
And there's this like hallway that you have to start walking down. But in the hallway were like these plastic walls that kind of pushed out and you had to like squeeze through these plastic walls that were all see-through. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of squeezing through and it's kind of hard to like move through. So it's all like single file. But then when you look to your left, you see a padded room, like a brightly lit padded room, and there's somebody in there. There's a scare actor that looks like they're in a straitjacket or whatever, blood on their face. Mm-hmm. And they're staring at you. But then what they do is they have the same type of wall on their side. They push the wall and the air pushes the wall that you're up against because it's like a big balloon, and it pushes, it throws you back into up into the other side of the wall.
Oh my gosh.
And there's two rooms on either side. So there's two different scare actors doing the same thing. So you're kind of being like bounced like around.
Accosted on both sides. Yeah. Yeah.
It was like the weirdest thing. Like it took me a second to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening right now?
Like, this house sounds so dynamic.
You know? It was wild.
Wow.
This is probably like the worst scare, I guess, for me. Okay. For me personally. This was the worst scare. We're walking and we're in this like again, old timey kind of room, Victorian era kind of thing. Someone looked like freaking wallpaper and scared the crap out of me because they popped out of the wall. I was not expecting that. And then another person looked like the curtains. So they popped out. I'm like, oh my God, everything in this room is alive. Like there's somebody everywhere.
Yeah.
And then as you're walking, you see this big boudoir is open. And I'm like, wait, we have to walk through that?
Oh, no.
And it looked like, it's a closet. You walk into the boudoir and it's very tight and you have to part the clothes. As soon as you part the clothes, you just see this long hallway.
What?
And there's just clothes on either side.
That's so cool.
Like you're brushing against the clothes.
Yeah.
And you're walking through. And I'm like, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. And then things start coming out of the walls and start touching you.
Oh my God.
On your leg, on your face. It's like the scare actors themselves aren't touching you, but like they have like feathers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like on a stick or whatever. And they're like brushing you.
That's so creepy.
That is like my worst fear. Like I hated it so much.
It sounds amazing.
I got that on camera too. Like I have this on camera. Like you see the exact moment where I was like,
we're not
doing this anymore. Like we're done. But that house was so good. It really was.
Oh, nice.
I would say it was number three on my list.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And, what else did they didn't really have merchandise at all, actually, for Scares the Universe. So they had a couple of things with Jack's face on it, but really there wasn't much. It was more focused on like the cute Halloween stuff. Cause I think that seems to be resonating with people more.
Well, that's merch though.
Yeah. Like they had a really cute, like ghost minion shoulder buddy.
Aww.
Which is really cute. It was very popular. It was flying off the shelves when I was there. People just loved it. I can see that
for sure. Yeah.
And as for food, the food was kind of like, the food was fine. There was burgers and stuff. Like there wasn't anything like super creative, I thought, like compared to like Japan or even Singapore. It was kind of okay, yeah, it's there. It's fine. I mean, like I said, they need to find their footing. And I think they're slowly doing that.
Yeah, you can't beat the vampire speakeasy.
No, that was 100% the best thing about all of it.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was just so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, for
it'll be kind of cool to see how it evolves though in time.
Yeah, like are they gonna add more houses or like more scare zones? What are they gonna do?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely worth checking out. Because I know everyone wants to see Japan, which is great. Like you should go to University of Japan. There's Halloween Horror Nights is unique and it's fun. But if you have the ability, I think going to Singapore and also Beijing should be on your list. Because those are so good. And I think people need to experience them.
Sounds good. I definitely want to check out Singapore one day.
Oh, you have to. I think you really have to.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they keep the speakeasy.
Yeah, or I mean, I don't know. Like, who knows? Maybe they'll do a, like, I don't know if this Orlando thing works out. Maybe they'll do a permanent spooky area or something, because, like, it seems like Singapore really loves horror.
That would be really good.
That would be amazing.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, spooky season. It's coming to a close soon.
Sadly. I mean, or if you celebrate all year like me, one season is ending, another begins.
Yeah, there's also that. Yeah. Yeah, I have videos on both of these events are up on our YouTube channel, so you can go and check that out. It's under TDR Explorer. I show the houses because we're allowed to film in them. Yeah, definitely go and check them all out. You can see what we were talking about for the last hour.
Nice.
Before we go, though, we want to thank some wonderful explorers that are supporting us over on Patreon. If you want to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/TDRnow. And a big thank you to Acro Disney Girl, Adam, Amanda C, Amy B, Amy C, Mama Explorer, Benjamin, Brent M, Carrie, Crispy, Claire, Claudia, Dave, David Baker, Kevin, Harry, Marina, Beth, Eli, Abby, Robinson, and Taylor.
And Jamie, Jose, Kathy, Lee, Marie, Michelle, Murray, Sophie, Spoopy, Thomas, K, Alexandra, Lizzie, Amy and Andy, Dana, Cassandra, Annie, Sonia, WW, Paige, and Tara.
And if you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button on your podcast app of choice so you do not miss any of our newest episodes, so you can stay up to date with everything theme parks on this side of the world. Our explorers, I'm one of your hosts, Chris. I am the one that, I don't want to say I'm done with the horror for the year. I never am. The whole, like, Halloween Horror Nights, I love it so much. I want to try and get at least one more go at in Japan or University of Japan. I want to try that. I want to go there at least one more time before it's over in November.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And joining, as always, is the wonderful Patricia.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking forward. It's still not Halloween yet, Chris. We still have a few more weeks. I'm looking forward to trick or treating in the neighborhood and volunteering this year. Plus, if you're in the area, I don't know when this podcast comes out, but if you're in the area and you hear this before the 19th, we have the fireworks festival as well.
I saw that.
You know, that happens in October here in autumn. So check that. Yeah. And we're going to carve jack-o'-lanterns. It's super fun. I love this season.
Always nice.
Yeah. Let us know how you guys celebrate. Like, what do you do? What's your favorite spooky local hotspot, you know? And yeah, keep exploring, you guys.
All right, explorers. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.